let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. In the winter of 2007, James Cameron and his wife Connie came upon the idea of taking an around-the-world cruise. The reasoning? Most importantly, they were both in good health and were not limited physically from enjoying all the experiences such a trip could provide. Both retired, could reasonably afford a trip if they were prudent in selecting among all of the add-on options. They had multiple Caribbean cruises over the years. They were ship ready, and they had a great curiosity about the numerous variances in world cultures and as well as topographies. Around the World in 113 Days, a slice of history from the past by James Cameron is their story. And he's our guest on This Week in America. James, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. Enjoy it.
What an exciting adventure that you were on, and you take us there with you. And I'm looking forward to talking about the book on the program today. Book available, by the way, at stratton-press.com, their book section, available wherever books are sold. Let's start with the basics here. Why did you decide to make this trip and then go about finding the line that you were going to travel on? Because you're going to be spending a lot of time with them. Why did you decide to do the trip in the first place?
Well, we had a friend who was a world traveler by ship. Is a friend of my mother's. I'm sorry, my wife. Her name was Betty, and they were buddies. And she informed us of a semester at sea program sponsored by Holland America aboard the flagship, the Amsterdam. And the Amsterdam, she'd been on numerous times. She'd been around the world quite a few times, and it sounded like fun to us and an adventure, so we signed up.
I mean, it does sound like fun, and to be able to do something like that and selecting the line, because that really fit in with what you were attempting to do. Talk about the length of the trip, like the number of days, the miles that you traveled, because that's a staggering amount of miles that you logged on the trip.
It was. We were on board for 113 days. And over that period of time, the ship covered 35,936 nautical miles.
I mean, that's just so amazing. As you're doing that, do you have a sense of time? I mean, you would think almost after the 30s and the 40s, it would just sort of be one long extended trip. Were you aware of time as you were doing this?
Well, yes, but it wasn't the kind of thing where you're keeping an eye on your watch. Really, it had to do with where the sun was and where it wasn't. So when it came nighttime and the sun went down, it wasn't a matter of, is it time to go to sleep, looking at your watch.
Yes.
The sun was dictating that. And the same thing with meals. We knew when the meals were being served, and it wasn't necessarily 8 in the morning or 12 noon or anything. So you are paying attention to time, but it's not the same as watching a watch, so to speak.
Well, that's interesting. What was it like without the watch and having your life dictated by the watch? It had to be refreshing, wasn't it? A little bit of freedom where you don't have to keep looking at your wrist all the time?
Yeah. Yes, it pretty much was. The only time frames we were paying attention to is when a boat was due to dock, and it would be on a time frame that whatever we were in at the time. So you're keeping an eye on what time frame you're living by and when the ship's going to dock, and also when is it going to take away. You wanted to be on that ship when it left the dock.
Yes.
And we made a lot of stops. So, yeah, we were keeping time, but not the kind that you normally think of as looking at your watch and saying, gosh, it's time for lunch. Wasn't that kind of thing at all.
Yes. When you go around the world, I'm thinking with the watch, all you'd be doing is adjusting the time just as you get acclimated to the time you're in a different time zone. So I guess you just sort of follow the follow the sun and figure it out that way. James Cameron is our guest on the program. If you're Googling it, Cameron is C-A-M-E-R-O-N. Book is Around the World in 113 Days, A Slice of History from the Past. You'll find it at stratton-press.com in the book section. Find it wherever books are sold. And our website, thisweekinamerica.us, will have a direct link on that. So much to talk about what you experienced during those 113 days. What were some of the most enjoyable aspects of the cruise for you and your wife?
Probably the most enjoyable and memorable aspects were getting to know our fellow passengers. And that was a fun thing to do. I mean, you know, we were on the ship a lot together. And there on that ship, there are various places where the passengers can get together and get to know each other, play cards, play different games. So that was part of the fun, is getting to know who was on the ship with us. And then also it's the populations you meet on shore excursions. Every time the ship would port, we would get off the ship and there would be a shore excursion. And these were all set up in advance. And the shore excursions you actually had to sign up for when you were on the ship and before you were at dock. So if you wanted to go to this one, sign up for that. If there was another one you wanted to go to at the same time, sign up for that one. So it was the passenger's choice as to what they signed up for. And that was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed that. And that's where we got to know the populations in the various countries, because we were on the shore excursion, and usually that was an all-day event, and had opportunities to mix and mingle with the native population.
It's interesting. You got to see so much during that period of time, 113 days. The book is Around the World in 113 Days, A Slice of History from the Past. James Cameron is the author and our guest on the program. Let's talk about the logistics of this. Where do you live? Where did the cruise start, and where did the cruise end?
Our home is in Colorado, although we have lived in Florida in the past. We live in Colorado now and moved out of Florida to Colorado before this trip actually occurred. But we departed and returned to Fort Lauderdale. And we knew Fort Lauderdale well because of our time living in Florida.
Yes.
And so it was a very easy thing for us. Plus, we had a friend of ours who had actually introduced us to this trip. And so she had taken it before and knew it. So, and she kind of was our guide, if you will, and giving our expectations the right information to say, here's what you should expect.
How valuable was that, having that inside knowledge? And I say that because that's what you're doing for people who read the book. They'll get a sense of what's happening. How important was it, how valuable for you and your wife to have this sort of inside information?
It was very helpful. First of all, you're on limited time on the ship overall, but you're also on limited time when you stop for shore excursions. And the shore excursions we signed up for, we always talked to this person who had been around the world herself before, more than once. And she had recommendations as to what the best shore excursions were. She knew how the ships run in terms of its staff and, you know, the rules and regs and what to do at night. The bars are open and you've got dances you can go to. And so she kind of helped educate us because we were new to big ships like this. We'd taken small ones before, but nothing like the size of this ship. So she was very valuable to us.
How many countries did you port into, countries that you could interact with the population? You talked about being able to mingle with the locals when you were able to get into those countries. Talk about that, where you were and specifically where you could like interact with the population.
Well, we ported 41 times. That's 41 different ports. We left the ship at each port and went on a shore excursion at each port. And the shore excursions were described to us while we were still on ship and before we had signed up for anything and before the ship had actually come into that port. So there were probably almost a half a dozen shore excursions going on. And they had different places they were going to go, and they had different agendas. And so you had to make a choice. And again, this friend of ours who'd been around the world numerous times could help guide us when it came to our shore excursions as to what would be the most educational and most fun.
With us on the program is James Cameron. He's the author of the book Around the World in 113 Days, A Slice of History from the Past. You'll find it at stratton-press.com in the book section. Wherever books are sold, you can link on by going to our website as well. What were some of the most unusual events that you encountered going into Basically, these countries, seeing their customs, you're there. Anything really stick out as rather unusual?
Not too much. We focused a lot too on the Suez and Panama canals in terms of education that we wanted to have. But we did have some unusual things happen. We were on a bus on one of our shore excursions, and one of the people on the bus was a religious person, and certain times during our bus ride she would get down in the aisle and go down on her knees and bow.
And, interesting.
You know, we understood what she was doing, and the other passengers did too, but we found it interesting that it didn't matter where this lady was going to be. Her religion was her religion, and she was going to carry it out, whether it be on a bus or wherever it might be.
You can imagine.
So there were some unusual things like that, but they're always interesting and enjoyable.
And you share those. And when you think about it, all of these different countries, all of these different customs that they have. The book is Around the World in 113 Days, A Slice of History from the Past. What did you do? What was helpful to you in understanding each individual country? Was there some homework involved? Again, you had the inside knowledge of the friend that had done this before. What did you do prepare to get knowledge of these countries before you visited them?
Yeah, we did reading was our method of learning a lot about the countries. It was, first of all, went into good detail when you were actually reading it. And we took notes off of what we read, and my wife and I texted each other with it and made sure our memories were working okay. And so we had a fairly decent understanding of what it was going to be like. And then, of course, when it actually happens, it's always more fun and more interesting than you think about it in advance.
Yes.
It's when it's actually happening. And so that's kind of how we did it. We kind of knew where we wanted to go. And again, our friend who had been around the world, you know, times before, kind of keyed us in as to what to avoid. Now, you don't want to go there. It's pretty boring. But over here is really interesting. So we followed her directions quite a bit. And then there was the stuff we read, which was also very valuable.
Spending 113 days as you did, I'm sure you needed some entertainment, needed to really relax from time to time. Not that it wasn't relaxing, but you're trying to figure out what excursions you're going to go on, visiting countries, that type of thing. What did you do for entertainment?
Well, there were all sorts of things that went on in the ship, most of them at night. And there was dancing. They had bands. There was a movie theater on board the ship. There were card games, the various card games that, you know, adults play, they were going on all over the place too. So, and then there's also a swimming pool on the boat. So there were lots of things to engage in and enjoy and, you know, use your time.
Was there a particular country that really resonated with you and your wife? In fact, maybe even talked about moving there or spending an extended period rather than on a cruise, going and spending some time there. Any country that stood out as like, this is my favorite and I could actually live here?
Yes, there was. Actually, it was more than one, but our favorite was New Zealand. And there were a couple of reasons for that. One is it has a very, very clean atmosphere. It has a plethora of beautiful scenery. And the government of New Zealand is very rational. So the things that you encounter that related to government actions or government rules, they always seem to make sense.
Interesting.
So it wasn't a matter of guessing or, you know, wondering what's that all about. It was pretty obvious.
Sort of a novel idea in governance to have something that actually makes some sense to the citizenry. It's sort of unfair to ask you that. You picked out New Zealand. Any second choice there? And if somebody said, you know, I got 113 days to spare here. If your wife said that to you again, let's go on another cruise. What was the second choice, maybe a place that was livable to you? And would you do all this all over again?
Well, the second choice was Australia.
Ooh, yes.
Which is, you know, Australia and New Zealand are not all that far apart. And it had many of the same qualities as New Zealand. They're both very well governed by the people that govern it. They both have a wonderful set of beautiful scenery. Obviously, Australia's size is much, much larger, so you've got much more choice in terms of what part of the country you want to examine, because all of them have kind of their unique features. But we stayed in New Zealand for the most part, but we did spend a little time in Australia doing some exploring.
It's been 12 years. Thinking about doing it again, is that a possibility?
Probably not. We are in our mid-70s now, and fortunately, we are in pretty good health, but we don't have quite the stamina
I can relate, yes.
Yeah, so it's really more of a stamina thing than a health issue, and so I think we're probably a little past the age where we would do it again.
It is a delightful book, and I know something you say is it's fine to read about this. You encourage people to get out and to do it. If you've got the wherewithal, the health to do it, you would advise anybody to go out and take a trip like this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you've got the health and you have the time, that is, you don't have a job. We were retired, so we didn't have a job to work around, either of us. And I would just strongly recommend that people do this. New Zealand and Australia are two wonderful choices, but there's others. The lady that we were taking our advice from, she'd spend a lot of times going on cruises directly to Africa, different parts of Africa,
yes,
as well as the Mediterranean. Now, we stopped at some areas, but she was some of the trips she took, she was in the Mediterranean for about a month. You know, like we were there for a couple of days.
Oh,
so
yes.
There's lots of different options you have when you decide that, yes, this is something you wanted to do.
And in terms of affordability, I mentioned that in the beginning. One thing that you said you were, you would be, if you were prudent in selecting among all the add-on options, that you would be okay. I would imagine it's pretty easy to get carried away with the add-on options. Suddenly these are things you want to do and you total them up. You got about as much spent in the options as the overall cost of the trip.
Yeah, well, we didn't do anything particularly unusual in picking our spot on the ship. For example, there's different areas of the ship that you can upgrade.
Yes.
I guess I'll call them. And we just took kind of the middle ground. We didn't need to think that we're going to do anything special on the ship. Other than just to enjoy the scenery as it goes by and people that we meet and things like that. But you have options to pick on the ship. And another option is, you know, do you pick something that's near sea level or do you pick something at the top of the ship or something at the back of the ship versus something in the front of the ship? So there are options you have to make.
Interesting, because as you're doing that, you're trying to figure out, where will I not get seasick? Did you have any problem with motion sickness during this?
No, we did not. And we've had experience before on being on a ship that had, you know, waves and could make you sick, but it's not part of anything that we ever experienced.
My first cruise, I was perfect when I was on the ship, and as soon as I got off, I spent the next week rocking back and forth on land. It was like a strange, strange sensation. I did fine on the water. It was back in the land where I had a problem. This book is such a great read. It's Around the World in 113 Days, A Slice of History from the Past by James Cameron. A picture of you and your wife on the front with a very large animal. Talk about the picture on the book cover.
Oh, let me take a picture. Let me grab my book itself so I can.
There is a huge
elephant. The elephant.
Huge elephant.
This was in Egypt, and we were on a shore excursion and walking through a fairly hefty piece of ground. It was fairly long. I think it was about a 2-hour walk through, and you were pretty much on your own. in this case. You could just kind of, but you're kind of told to stay in the grounds of where this elephant is. But there's a lot of ground there and a lot of things to see. And so when we came up on this elephant, we looked at that thing and go, gosh, it looks real. And so I stood on one side and Connie stood on the other side, and we had a friend with us that, you know, came off the ship with us, and we said, could you take a picture? And she said, yeah, sure. You know, get up there and stand next to it. And so that's how the picture came about.
Well, I love the book cover. It sort of sets the tone for what you're going to see in reading the book, Around the World in 113 Days, a slice of history from the past. It's by James Cameron. That's C-A-M-E-R-O-N. Book available at stratton-press.com in the book section, wherever books are sold. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We'll have a direct link there as well. James, a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for sharing 113 days in about a half an hour with us here. Thank you for being with us on the program. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It was an entire pleasure.
You're listening to This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us. Information there on James Cameron and his book Around the World in 113 Days. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.